18, just about. So Marvel's Avengers Endgame continues to set new records and Korea has become the second highest grossing foreign film with over 11.75 million viewers as of yesterday. But it's also reignited the debate over whether we should allow one single film, like a big blockbuster with all that marketing power, to also dominate our screenings. Let's bring in Professor Park Young-shin from the Korea University Law School, also serves on the Media Development Committee. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
And this Avengers Endgame secured over 80% of all film screenings across the country on the first day of its release, according to the Korean Film Council. But we also know how vastly popular this franchise is. Do you agree this violates viewers' freedom, though, to choose what films they want to watch?
If you want to use the expression violation, we should be talking about some right established either by the Constitution or the statute established in law. One law that we should look to in a situation like this is monopoly regulation law. Or for American viewer, for American listeners, antitrust law. Now, whether one film dominating these many screens constitutes abuse of dominance, that's the term when we describe one company coercing other companies using its dominant market power to deal with its products. Whether this constitutes abuse of dominance requires a more analysis than just a number, 80%. But it's good to point out that in the U.S., in the home market, only about 25% of screens are occupied by Avengers Endgame. Now, it is shown at 80%, more than 80% of the theaters in the U.S., but, each theater has many screens, and other films are shown on other screens in the multiplexes. Mm. So I think that we need to see whether if you wanna find a violation of some right, I think we should do more analysis on how much of this viewing comes naturally from the consumer demand, as opposed to abuse of dominance by the company distributing the film. Well, what's the company that's distributing the film? Is it Disney, Fox? I forgot the name because of a merger and acquisitions. But
right, okay. Avengers, honestly, to be perfectly honest, for this particular blockbuster, as I've said on the air before, I've not even made a move to see it. It's not something that's massively appealing to me, but perhaps that it is Walt Disney Korea distributing it here, by the way, I've been told. But we're using this as a platform for discussing the way blockbusters generally dominate. And there have been times, Professor Park, when I've really wanted to see a blockbuster, and I've been really happy that there have been loads of screenings, because when there's such a lot of hype about one particular movie, the initial instinct is, oh, everything's going to be sold out, it's going to be very hard to get a ticket. But obviously when there are more screenings, it opens up the options for people. Of course, I also see the other side, that we want to be able to see diverse movies, and it's very frustrating when there are no screenings at all for another kind of movie that you want to see, or when they just come and go within a couple of weeks. #1013 for 51 per message, if anyone wants to weigh in on this. Professor Park, let's just discuss the impact of what happened in 2006. The government reduced by half the screen quota, the minimum time theatres must play domestic films, from 146 to 73. And that was part of the free trade agreement with the United States. What was the aftermath of that?
Well, many people in the film industry were worried that it would negatively affect the Korean film, the filmmaking of the making of Korean films as opposed to import films. But it didn't happen that way. Maybe the screen quota of Korean films or Korean-made films was instituted long enough time to make the Korean filmmaking viable. Even now, the Korean films have achieved close to 50%, sometimes above 50% of the market share year after year, even after the reduction of the screen quota. Now, there are only a handful of countries where domestic films achieve that market share. India, Japan, there are not more than five major markets where domestic filmmaking is so strong. I think that one lesson, well, there are two conflicting lessons that we can learn from. One is screen quota does have a positive effect in long-term growth or long-term sustenance of domestic film industry. But the other conflicting lesson is when domestic film is going so strong, whether, you know, what the effect of screen quota will be. I think that these lessons are also something that we should think about when we look at the screen dominance or screen monopolization by one or two companies.
We got a message here from 4105 saying to establish a systematic regulation to prevent Hollywood movies monopoly seems necessary, but I don't think it's sustainable. How many Korean movies with a good story were successful in the past? Professor Park, I mean, I normally see the Korean movies when they come out on streaming services with subtitles for convenience sake, but I don't know, there's been quite a few blockbuster Korean movies as well in recent years, particularly enjoying success here in this country, but even abroad as well. Do you think the lack of screen time for Korean movies actually reflects the quality of those movies?
I don't think there is a lack of screen time for Korean movies. I mean, Endgame, Avengers Endgame, I think is or the entire Marvel series is exceptional in generating consumer demand. We talked about abuse of dominance. I think that if you are looking for abuse of dominance or violation of consumer freedom, I think we should look closer at the Korean films, the Korean blockbusters that are being distributed and shown by the Korean big businesses that are showing and distributing, that are doing both showing and distributing of the films. Because with that vertical integration, there is a great risk of foreclosing the market from non-conglomerate distributors.
Right.
That's why I'm saying we need more analysis, more than the number of screens occupied by one film.
I mean, perhaps, Professor, we do need more analysis, but 5608 has texted in saying, I remember the debate way back in the 2000s about the, I mean, we're still in the 2000s now, but the early 2000s about the screen quota system, and it's a bit ridiculous that we're still talking about it in 2019. I don't think this can be solved without conglomerates with theatres backing down and creating profits and make some concession for the sake of fostering the local film industry, especially indie films. I mean, we're almost out of time, Professor Park, but do you think that, I mean, where do you think the line is between just allowing the market to decide the popularity of movies and perhaps restricting some of the marketing power of these big movies to better support smaller movies? So at least we can hear about them fairly and then decide which ones we want to go and watch.
I think that we should look at, in terms of the consumer freedom, we should not just look at availability of diverse films, but also we should look at production of diverse films, because the decent size production of Korean films has decreased over time. When I say decent size, I'm talking about more than a production budget of more than 1 billion Korean won. That number has decreased. But the number of super-size, mega-size production has increased rather.
Right. So Professor Park, we do have to leave it there. We get the point. And thank you very much for joining us today.